Welcome back to another episode of Lay Your Brick. I'm your host, Cade Richardson, and today we have a fascinating topic to dive into, the Goldilocks rule. I'm sure you've heard about the Goldilocks story, finding just the right situation, bed, oatmeal, etc. But today, I'm talking about the Goldilocks rule as introduced in the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. This rule holds the key to creating habits that stand the test of time. So let's jump right in. All right, before we dive into the Goldilocks rule, let's take a moment to understand the core principles of Atomic Habits by James Clear. His revolutionary book emphasizes the power of small and incremental changes in our daily routines. I've mentioned this book before on the podcast, so if you still haven't bought the book, why? What are you doing? Get the book, dummy. I love this book for so many reasons, but this book talks about how to form new habits, the science behind what makes our habits, along with breaking bad habits that we have already formed. These tiny habits, when consistently practiced, can lead to remarkable transformations and help us reach our goals. That's why I love this book. In this book, there is a quote, and it says, if you can get 1% better every day for 1 year, you'll end up with 37% times better by the time you're done. That's insane. Right? Like that's 37% better. That's not 100% better, but that's 37%. If you get 1% better every single day, that's 37% by the time that you're done. It puts it in perspective. Most generations would agree with me that we all want our results now, right? Everything's in the now. We want to get it now. We want to have that house now. We want to have that family now. We want to be married now. We want to have that partner. But we aren't willing to wait the time that it takes. Delayed gratification is something that seems to be going extinct from people's vocabulary in the day-to-day. I mean, delayed gratification is something that seems, to me, like a super important thing to have a part of your life. And for me, the gym, and I think a lot of people too, the gym is actually something that really hones in and teaches you about delayed gratification, because you don't see results right away. You have to keep going. Consistency is key, right? So delaying our gratification can be super beneficial for us. The reason is because we're doing things for the betterment of our future and not just the now. Like take eating, for example. Why do we eat shitty food? Like, have you ever thought about that? When we know that eating healthier will make us live longer and have more benefits overall, it's because we want that feeling to last for a good 2 to 5 minutes of eating something, because it just tastes good and it's easy, accessible, right? But if you can gain something from this podcast already, it's that our daily habits stack up, and that means something. Everything that you do daily, for brushing your teeth, drinking water, driving to work, getting dressed, all has a routine to it, and they stack up on one another. And if you aren't preparing yourself and making it easier for your life in the future, it's time to rethink of a couple of things in your life. It might sound overwhelming, and I get that. I do. But a great start is educating yourself on these things. So listening to this episode is a great start. So hey, pat yourself on the back, because you're going to be loving this. Also, getting the book would be a great start. Atomic Habit, James Clear. You guys won't regret it. I promise you. It's really good. Okay, so the Goldilocks rule. This is inspired by the famous fairy tale character Pursuit of the Just Right Experience, right? Sheds a light on optimal conditions for habit formation. The Goldilocks rule states that the human experience peak motivation when working on tasks that are just right on the edge of their current abilities. Not too hard and not too easy, just right. So why is it crucial to strike this deliberate balance, you may ask yourself? Well, if a habit is too challenging, it can lead to frustration, discouragement, and ultimately you're going to give up your new habit because it's too hard to maintain, right? You guys do this all the time. You start a new diet, you start a new workout plan, you do all these different things. It's just too challenging right away for you to do. You have to break it down, right? So on the other hand, if it's a habit's too easy though, it's going to fail to stimulate that growth and provide a sense of accomplishment, right? This is the dopamine spikes that I've kind of been looking into. You have to get a certain amount in order to really feel that reward, right? So finding that sweet spot is key to sustainable progress, which is all what we're striving for. We just want to be sustainable. If something is sustainable, it's consistent, right? We want to wake up and have that consistent mindset. As long as you are 99 are 98% consistent with yourself, that 1%, that one day, that whatever it may be, it's not going to end your life. But you need to be consistent the rest of the time. And again, I feel like I've talked about this in another episode, but just because you, let's say you start a diet and you fail, right? On like the third day, whatever it may be, by failing by eating out with your family or something, right? The rest of that day, let's say it's a lunch, don't go home and eat like crap, right? Go home, measure out, eat a balanced meal, and get back on top of it. Why? Because that's going to matter. If you just throw everything away, then it's pointless, right? Just keep going with it. Don't stop just because you messed up one time. And that's really ultimately when we think about that. I agree. When we think that we mess up on something, we're like, oh, this is totally out the window. I can't do it, whatever. No. Quit the bad fucking negative thoughts, right? You just talk to yourself and tell yourself that you can get back right back on that horse and do it. To understand the Goldilocks rule better, let's consider an example. A great example that this book gives is the human brain loves a challenge, but only if it's within an optimal zone of difficulty. So this is the example. I love this. If you love tennis and try to play a serious match against a four-year-old, you will quickly become bored. It's too easy. You win every point. In contrast, if you play a professional tennis player like Serena Williams, you will quickly lose motivation because the match is simply too difficult. Now consider playing tennis against someone who is your equal. As the game progresses, you win a few points, you lose a few, you have a good chance of winning, but only if you really try. Your focus narrows, distractions fade away, and you find yourself fully invested in that task at hand. This is a challenge of just manageable difficulty, and it's a prime example of the Goldilocks rule. The Goldilocks rule encourages us to find the middle ground, a habit that is challenging enough to push us slightly beyond our comfort zone, but not so overwhelming that we become discouraged. For instance, starting with an equal opponent that gradually increases in intensity and duration over time can be a sweet spot that allows for consistent progress to become better. So James Clear explains that operating with the Goldilocks zone enables a phenomenon called flow. So I'm sure you guys have heard of the flow state before if you're in kind of this realm. If not, the flow state's like a deep concentration and enjoyment where you're fully absorbed in the activity and like your distractions fade away, everything, you're just honed in. You have no idea time is passing, right? So with that, we can experience flow more frequently, making the habit more enjoyable and increasing the likelihood of a long-term adherence. Remember, the Goldilocks rule isn't just about staying stagnant or avoiding challenges altogether. It's not just finding that sweet spot and staying there. It's stretching it so we can get that challenge. It's about finding that optimal balance where our habits stretch us just enough to foster that growth and that dopamine while keeping us motivated and engaged. So the main thing that I kind of want to talk about here, and actually a really good friend brought this up when I was kind of talking about the Goldilocks rule to him. He goes, okay, but how do I do that within my life, right? The Goldilocks rule is a great rule. It's finding that balance of not too challenging but not too easy. Okay, well, that's way easier said than done. How do we apply this to our life? So I took the time and I wanted to kind of figure out what we'd have to do in order to really do this. And I think that if you guys have heard of SMART goals before, then that's like kind of where I got all of this base off of. But let's start with this. So I think that there's an honest look that you guys need to talk to yourself about. So starting small, just begin with the new habits that are manageable and that align with your abilities right now. So don't overwhelm yourself with like drastic changes right away. You just have to simply start something and it may be too easy right away, but then, you know, again, gradually progress. So that's the next one, gradually progress. As you become more comfortable with your initial habits, gradually increase the difficulty or intensity. Challenge yourself to stretch beyond your comfort zone, but avoid making the leap too large. So again, you can't make that leap too large. And again, the third, maintain that consistency. Consistency is key to habit formation. It's the key actually to life. I love consistency. Why? Because it's the one thing that keeps us going day to day to day to day to day. It's the same thing every day. And this book also provides a really good example about how success is huge, right? Like we all want success, but the key to success is consistency. because without it, you're gonna fail. You're gonna have that drop off, right? You can't do that. It's just not in terms. You just can't do it. So consistency is key to habit formation. Make sure your habits are realistic and sustainable in long term. It's better to have a habit that you can consistently practice at a moderate level than one that you can sporadically at high level, right? Like, you don't want that. It's not going to do anything for you. You have to have something that is constantly there, consistency. So now you got to monitor that engagement. Pay attention to your level of engagement and enjoyment. If a habit feels too easy or monotonous, then consider avoiding variations or increasing the challenge. On the other hand, if a habit feels overwhelming or demotivating, then break it down into smaller or more manageable steps. Embrace the flow. Look for opportunities to experience the flow, the state of deep concentration and enjoyment. Adjust your habits to match your skill level. I mean, that's just, again, I'm just going to keep beating that horse, because you have to match your habits with that skill level that you currently have right now. And lastly, you need to reflect and adjust. So regularly evaluate your habits and their effectiveness. Reflect on what's working and what needs to be adjusted. Be open to modifying or adapting new habits as you grow and progress. I think that's a huge thing. If you're not open to the idea of, you know, trying to grow or become better, then this is going to be really challenging for you. Sorry for the interruption. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you for listening to the podcast. There are a couple things that you can do for me and for this podcast to help it grow and maintain its longevity. A, you can leave a 5-star review telling me what you liked about the podcast, how it moved you, or what specifically moved you. B, you can follow our social media, stay up to date, know when we're going to post, and help share it. And C, share this podcast with a friend, a family, or a coworker. It means the world to me that you guys are listening to this podcast. So if you can do one of those things today in this episode, I greatly appreciate it. Let's get back to the episode. And just remember that we have to start somewhere, guys. Like, we're not always going to have that motivation. And I'm going to do a podcast about this later on as well. But we're not always going to have that motivation. So it comes in waves. There's going to be that discipline and delayed gratification. That's when that comes into play. That is what's key to these habit formations, because you're not going to experience these things right away. And if you do, celebrate your wins. If you do have that actually gratification right afterwards, like some people, including myself, whenever I go to the gym, an hour after I get home or whatever, I take a shower, whatever it may be, I'll flux in the mirror. I'll be like, oh, wow. You know, wow, I see that, right? And yes, there's pumps and whatever, but like, you're not going to see those actual challenge, like those results right away. But the thought of it for me is enough to be like, oh, wow, I see the difference, right? So embrace those if you do get those little gratifications. And talking about goals, you know, with this tied in, I like to break down my goals into smaller goals. So I pick a huge main goal, whatever that may be. So let's say it's a promotion, right? Then from that main goal, break that down into smaller goals. You're going to be able to complete it a lot sooner and more skillfully. And if you don't believe me, you got to try it. You're going to have that main goal, then break that main goal into smaller goals. You're going to be able to reach, you're going to stay more present. You're going to have that gratification right away because you're actually going to have those things that you're crossing off your list, you're completing. Right? And that's ultimately, it's showing you a map of where you want to get to. So it works on so many different levels, and I think that you guys should try it. So this was another big thing that my friend and I were talking about, okay? So that's how to put it into your life, right? So how are we going to do that? We're going to start small. We're going to gradually progress. We're going to maintain that consistency. We're going to monitor our engagement. We're going to try to embrace that flow state. And then when we can, we're going to reflect and adjust. But what happens when it's your life, right? Like, life gets in the way. What happens when you're at work? You work a corporate job, whatever job you work, you're going to be like, well, okay, I don't know how to do that. All right, I've been doing the same thing at the same job for 20 years, 10 years, whatever it may be. Or even if you're starting out, I've been doing the same thing for a while, and you feel bored, right? You feel bored. You feel like there is no challenge that you can kind of really put in place because you have a boss over your head. You may have all these different things going on, right? Okay, well, here's where I'm going to tell you you're wrong. I think I came up with 4 steps to find new challenges and opportunities for growth when you're feeling bored or stagnant at work. And I think that you listening to this will really help you. And they kind of tie in with those other ones that we talked about. So, number one, reflect and evaluate. So take time to reflect on your current job and identify areas that still hold for potential growth. There's going to be something there that has potential growth. Consider untapped opportunities, projects, or responsibilities you can explore. Look for ways to expand your knowledge and skills within your role. So really look for something that you can kind of get to. And I'll actually, number 3 goes into that more. So number 1, reflect and evaluate. Just take that time. Look for something that you can strive for. Okay. Number 2, communicate and seek support. Discuss your desire for new challenges within your supervisor or your manager. Express your interest in taking on additional responsibilities or projects. Explore possibilities for cross-functional collaboration or mentorship. Seek support and guidance in finding new avenues for growth within your organization. There's going to be something. Talk to your manager, talk to your boss, and say, look, I would really like to start taking on more responsibility. And it is going to feel scary, especially if you've been doing the same thing for a while. But in doing so, you're going to show your boss, A, that you're willing to take on those tasks and actually you want something more. B, that you're not going to just sit there and be stagnant the whole rest of the months or years or whatever it may be, because he's going to see or she's going to see that you're willing to put in the work that's necessary and you want to have more responsibility and things to do. And whether they give you that or not, that's out of your control. What I am telling you that these are steps that you can take. Okay. So number 3, this one's, I think, the most important, should have made it number 1, invest in personal development. Take advantage of professional development opportunities within and outside of your workplace. Attend workshops, conferences, or seminars relevant to your field and acquire new knowledge and skills that can help you tackle fresh challenges. Look for networking opportunities to expand your professional connections. Personal development is a area that I think we're all kind of getting more into and want to explore more. Now, when you enter that professional development realm, this is where your personal development strives, because you need to work on yourself in order to actually become more confident, motivated, consistent, and engaging more through your work. And so when you work at that at home and find new opportunities and habits and experiences and getting out there and really trying different things, that's where you can bring that into your professional development. That's where you can go to these seminars. Now you have the confidence to talk to these people, to explore new opportunities, to network with the same people in it. And I advise you to do this. You're never too old to do this. Find someone that you admire or you think that is doing your job better than you, and ask to shadow them for whatever it may be, or ask them questions, ask them to go on a coffee date and sit down and talk to them about their job and how they do it and how they go about things. That's already going to explore your mind, expand your mind, and it's going to make you want to strive for more too, because you're going to see somebody in your field, in your thing, in your certain job doing better than you. What's that going to make you do? Oh, that's going to make you want to be better. So I really challenge you to do that. So personal development into professional development, okay? And number 4, explore side projects and volunteering. Engage in side projects or volunteering activities relevant to your field or areas of interest. These endeavors provide opportunities to learn and grow outside of your regular job responsibilities. They can help you acquire new skills, expand your network, and potentially lead to new opportunities, like we talked about, personal development, people. Okay. By reflecting, communicating, investing in professional development and personal development, and exploring side projects, you can find new challenges and growth opportunities, even with the constraints of your current job. Embrace a proactive mindset and take steps to actively seek and create meaningful experiences that fuel your personal and professional development. By integrating the Goldilocks rule, guys, into our pursuit of personal growth, we can lay a strong foundation of habits that propel us forward brick by brick. Wink, wink. Remember, it's not about the magnitude of each habit, but the consistency. What did I say? The consistency and the balance they provide in our lives. So with that, I'm going to leave you guys with a little bit more knowledge here, because I think that the Goldilocks rule is not just about taking the time and finding what's just the right challenge. Okay? It's more than that to me. The Goldilocks rule is having that consistency and motivation and discipline and delayed gratification in order to optimize your life and your habits. And in order to do that, the Goldilocks rule provides this rule, provides this whatever you want to call it for you, as to find something that's not too challenging and that's not too easy. It's way easier said than done. But like I said, if we can start small, we can gradually progress that. We can maintain our consistency. We can monitor our engagement, try to find that flow state, and reflect and adjust. And reflecting and adjusting is really key on all levels of your life, because in order to actually be better and get better at something, I think it's super important to do that. You have to reflect. You have to give yourself a quarterly adjustment. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's the way that we operate. It's the way that our brains are wired. And I'll get into it more on a different episode as well. But having that motivation and that dopamine spike as well as the rewards. And that's why I think it's really important for you guys to read this book, Atomic Habits. Because if you take the time and read this book, you'll actually learn about how much different we can actually make new habits and how to get bad and how to get rid of bad ones, but also where that reward is, right? So forming that new habit is the cue response reward. Cue response reward? Oh no, am I missing one? That's bad. Anyways, get the book, try it out. I highly recommend it. I really do. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. I hope that the Goldilocks rule has shed light on the importance of finding the right level of challenge in your guys' habits. And thank you for listening to my podcast, guys, Lay Your Brick. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends and family. Remember, every small step counts. So keep laying those bricks and building the life that you desire. Thank you for listening. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, therapy has helped many of my friends and family. There is no need to feel bad or ashamed about going to therapy. Getting help is a part of the journey, and that's what BetterHelp does. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help you. Or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, or you just have a lot on your plate. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better, because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself, because you are your greatest asset. Right now is a special offer to my listeners, Lay Your Brick listeners. You can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/lybcade. That's betterhelp.com/lybcade. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.